This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Last week, the City of San Antonio Public Safety Committee on the City Council passed an initial recommendation that would impact the zoning for gun stores and gun shows. Proponents say if they are passed, they could make parts of the city safer from gun violence. Opponents say this could violate the Second Amendment. We're joined by William Cruz Shaw, San Antonio City Council representative for District 2 and chair of the Public Safety Committee. You can call in with your questions and comments. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org and tweet at us at @tprsource. And Councilman Shaw, welcome back to The Source.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having us on.
So tell me about this proposed change to the zoning.
Well, it's – so as a zoning chair, one thing that the community had the opportunity to do is they were informed about what's being developed in their neighborhoods. So if there was a liquor store, a bar, a restaurant that sold alcohol, adult establishments, there was a notice that went out to the community that gave them an idea of what was being developed. Right now, firearms and ammunition are under the category of sporting goods. So when that zoning change goes out and that notification is given in that 200 feet radius, all they know is that's a sporting goods. That's it. What we're asking is to remove firearm and ammunition out of the sporting goods umbrella and have its own identity in terms of zoning.
Its own identity would be guns or something?
Yeah, ammunition and firearms. So if somebody wants to come and put a ammunition store or a gun store and has to change the zoning, people in that nearby community would know what's being changed and what's happening.
What is the logic behind this proposed change? Why do it?
It just gives more transparency. As you know, the city, municipalities can only, it's very minimal what we can do in terms of ammunition and guns. But it just gives more transparency so we know what's going on and our community knows what's being developed around their housings and their schools.
How do you think this would impact the availability and sale of guns and ammunition?
That, I don't know, because this hasn't been done very often. I think only one city has done it in Texas, which is Galveston. This is something that it can't hurt, but I think and it won't be a quick fix. It won't something that's if it passes through council and it's implemented, you know, in the next year, we're not going to see gun violence reduced based off this solely. It's going to be a very complex and complicated issue, but I think this is a first step in addressing gun violence in our cities.
So for gun stores that are already in operation in San Antonio, how would this impact them?
Not at all. They're all grandfathered in.
So this is moving forward.
Correct.
And so just because someone has the notification that there's going to be a gun store in their neighborhood, does that stop that gun store from going in the neighborhood? I mean, what do you mean?
Sometimes, because what tends to happen is that once a community finds out what's being developed in their area, they have the opportunity to reach out to their zoning commissioner. They can go to zoning hearings. They can reach out to their council person and then go to council hearings in either agreement or opposition of the zoning change. So it gives a more transparent look in our changes in our communities, but it just allows the community to know what's happening and what's being built.
Isn't there a provision that would prevent the putting of a gun store near a school or a church?
I believe that on the state level there is, but not from a local level, not from a zoning perspective.
Now, is this something that frequently we've seen some measures coming out of the city hall that run counter to the wishes of what they do up in Austin? And is this something that you think Austin would get involved in?
I don't know. I don't know. I know many of the proposals that the city attorneys and city staff came to the committee with were online with the proposal from Austin. When the governor is asking for a task force to be put together to address some of these issues. They did not mention the zoning perspective in that discussion that I know of.
The Second Amendment talks about a regulated militia, the right to bear arms by the people. Is this something that one could argue violates the Second Amendment? Is this going to keep people from being able to acquire the guns that they have a right to buy and own?
No, absolutely not. You know, I mean, of course, anyone can argue it. But I will speak on the contrary, because state code, state statute gives the cities the specific authority to manage land use and location of business. We can't manage the transfer, the possession of firearms or ammunition. So all we're doing is managing land use, nothing more.
But there are people who are saying that you found a workaround. You have found a loophole which weakens the Second Amendment.
I wouldn't say it's a loophole. It's state law. I mean, if we think about it from a common sense perspective, we know when they're building strip clubs around our neighborhoods, people are made aware of that. When they're building, you know, liquor stores or they're building restaurants that's going to sell alcohol, the community is aware of that. All we're asking is that we change the UDC to allow for our community members to know when they're building a gun or ammunition shop.
Do you hear from some of your constituents that don't like that there are gun stores in their neighborhoods?
I know before I got on council, there was a big issue with a gun shop in our district that's been there for quite some time now. And they tend to be good neighbors. This does not stop the sale of guns. It does not stop the sale of ammunition. What it does, it gets community involved in knowing what's going to be there. So we've had some of our neighborhood associations and our neighborhood leaders speak out, like, what can we do about gun violence?
Now, pawn stores sell guns.
Right.
Does this impact those?
For the future, yes. It has the potential to impact them. What we did ask staff to do is to come back. Right now, they gave us a skeleton. We asked them to come back with a little bit more meat on the bones to understand how will it affect pawn shops. Or not affect pawn shops, but as it's currently written now, pawn shops that move forward, they will be affected, but they also go through state and federal regulation when they sell firearms.
But an existing pawn shop,
they're fine.
Would be fine.
Yes.
But this would prevent a new pawn shop from going into the neighborhood if it plans on selling guns and ammo.
Correct.
Have you heard from these stores? Have they told y'all anything?
I have not heard from many. One or two are a little concerned about the proposal. And like I said, we've only gotten the skeleton of this proposal and what it would look like in terms of an ordinance. So there's still a lot more conversation need to be had.
So talk about that process.
So it's already gone through the committee. So next step is B session, where all of my colleagues will be in attendance, hopefully. And the city will have, like I said before, a more thorough, more detailed ordinance and being able to look at a legal opinion that can be drafted by our city attorneys to see what's the likelihood of violating the Second Amendment as well as state statutes. But now we'll have more questions answered in B session. Once it passes B session, we have the opportunity to go to a full city council vote.
And Second Amendment proponents are known to be extremely enthusiastic. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't imagine that they would not try to express their will here.
Right.
What have you heard from them?
We had some comments at the committee meeting. A majority of the proponents of the Second Amendment stated they're going to be watching this carefully to make sure that we don't cross any lines, any legal lines.
All right, so we're taking a break here, and our phone lines are open. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. We're speaking with City Council Representative of District 2, William Cruz Shaw, about local gun store zoning changes that could impact the availability of guns in neighborhoods and near churches and schools. 210-614-8980. Do you support? Do you oppose? Tell us what you're thinking. 210-614-8980. The Source continues right after this. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. The San Antonio City Council is taking up a measure that could impact where gun stores go, including pawn shops, which frequently sell guns. They're looking at zoning requirements that would allow the notice to go out in a neighborhood and allowing a neighborhood to vocalize whether they would support or oppose having a shop like that in their area. Tell us what you think. The number is 210-614-8980. This is being floated as a way to make San Antonio neighborhoods have a way to deal with curbing gun violence in parts of the city. We're now joined by Becca De Felice. And Becca De Felice, she's with Moms Demand Actions, and you're on the air.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call.
Great. So tell us what your impressions are.
Well, I mean, first I want to say that gun violence can and does touch every demographic in San Antonio. And so it takes all of us as community members to find effective solutions. So we do really appreciate that Councilman Shaw has taken this step forward to proactively address gun violence and not just react to it. And we've seen this before in the city with the San Antonio Police Department, with its Violent Crime Task Force, and the Bexar County Sheriff's Department's commitment to reducing intimate partner gun violence. So we're very grateful as an organization to have lawmakers like Councilman Shaw and law enforcement officers who are committed to the safety of our families and to reducing the number of San Antonians who are affected by the gun violence epidemic. As an organization, we have hundreds of volunteers who are committed to fighting everyday gun violence. You know, in the U.S., we have 96 people who are shot and killed every day, and we can do more, and we should do more to curb that number.
All right, Becca Day Felice, she's with Moms Demand Actions, and she apparently is an enthusiastic supporter of this proposed changes. William Cruz Shaw from District 2, you know, you hear from groups that are obviously concerned about gun violence, and they say, yeah, do it. Does that mean something to you?
It means a lot. It means a lot. And it, to me, it's this is not going to cause a zero gun violence in our communities. But I think we're taking the step in the right direction. Like I said before, our city, any municipality, has a very limited role in terms of federal and state law, and this applies to both. But we do have the ability to regulate land use.
Do you think it impacts a neighborhood to have a number of gun stores there on the corners and making like guns so easily available that that has some sort of impact on the atmosphere?
I would say so. You know, if a child grows up and sees gun violence in gun stores in their community day in, day out, that could be possible long-term effects. And that's one of the responsibilities of the city staff coming back to us saying, this is what we've seen during our research and our study.
Which is the same reason why there are rules curbing the placement of adult entertainment.
Correct.
And alcohol distribution.
Correct.
Okay. Let's go to Marty. Marty's called in. Marty, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you for having me. I do appreciate Mr. Shaw's intent, and I'm a huge gun rights advocate. I do, you know, I enjoy the sport, but I do have to agree with him in that I think it's a good attempt, a good first step. However, my concern is that I do see it as a big Band-Aid fix, and that what's to keep people from going to neighboring towns or municipalities and getting firearms and just bringing them in as we see in other cities?
Marty, thank you for the call. And so Councilman Shaw.
You know, we're not saying we're going to ban guns in the city. We're just saying that we're going to, when we do a master plan of how the city develops, we'll know exactly where these gun stores are located. Just like I keep saying liquor stores. We're not banning liquor from San Antonio. We just know where these liquor stores are located. And typically they're not down the street inside your communities. So it's, you know, I don't want to spread the misconception that San Antonio is trying to eliminate guns in our city. That's not what the intent of this. It's more of a transparency and a broader issue in terms of land use.
But Marty's question, like what's to keep someone from going to a neighboring town? They don't even have to go to a neighboring town. There will be gun stores and gun retailers in San Antonio still. It's just that they will be in the future, as if this passes and it goes into effect and we see how San Antonio has developed and stores close and stores open, eventually over time, they will have to go to places that are further away from churches and schools and neighborhoods in order to get those guns.
Yes.
And that's not a prohibition on guns.
No, at all. Okay. You don't have to travel to a different city or a different county. You can travel down the street. But it'll be, you'll know exactly, the community will know where those gun stores are going to be located.
And so they're like Walmart sell guns, so that they'll have to figure out how to deal with that too.
And right now, it's allowed in a C3. But if you start saying a sporting goods store, then you don't know exactly what they're selling. So we're asking for the firearm to be taken out of the sporting goods umbrella of land use and be independent.
All right, we're speaking with District 2 City Council Representative William Cruz Shaw. We're talking about a zoning, proposed zoning change that could impact gun retailers. Kent is on the line. Kent, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
I had a quick question. What percentage of gun violence in San Antonio and Bexar County is due to legally purchased firearms from local dealers?
That's a great question, and that's part of the research that city staff will be coming back to us. Speaking from as a professional, as a criminal defense attorney, a lot of my clients have committed crimes, especially in domestic violence, with guns that were owned legally. So if there's a domestic dispute and something happens long term, I've seen many times where that individual has committed an assault or even a murder with a legally owned firearm.
And so when people raise issues like that, I guess they're trying to express that so many guns are owned illegally. The criminals who have guns, they're not going to pay attention to your zoning changes. They're going to do what they're going to do.
Right. And this is not about the criminals. This is about land use and people and establishments that are selling them. Now, I always hear, well, criminals will get their guns first. Well, no one's a criminal until they commit the first crime. So a lot of times you'll see an individual who's never committed a crime before have a legally owned gun, and then it takes that one opportunity for them to use that gun and hurt, you know, either a stranger, but more often than not, it's someone that they know or care about.
Are there other gun violence issues, proposals that are being looked at?
We're also looking at the MAG's office right now. We're having a discussion on whether or not when an individual is arrested for a domestic violence charge, part of that bond is that they do not have firearms while they're out on bond. If you're arrested for a family violence and charged and convicted in the affirmative finding of family violence, you cannot own guns on the state and federal level. What we're asking and we're having the conversation now is that if someone's arrested, they're not convicted yet, they have not gone to trial or pled, should they have firearms in their possession?
And so the issue being, I mean, don't think you would have, right now, you're the lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
If I am arrested for a domestic violence issue and there's a concern about me having guns in my house, and then you go to a judge and get mm-hmm. a separate order.
Correct. It doesn't always happen. I've seen times where police will confiscate the guns upon arrest, and I've seen times where they haven't. But now if we can get a judge to sign an order saying as long as you're out on bond, it's a condition of bond, that you cannot own or possess a firearm while this case is pending, I think that might benefit the issue.
Have we seen folks who have been arrested out on bond who own guns and then use those guns to hurt others?
I know one specific. That's because of personal experience. We're working with the chief as well as the sheriff to get more numbers, as well as a court system to get a better understanding on statistics.
Now, Texas Governor Greg Abbott, he has put out some proposals for dealing with gun violence, trying to still be all pro Second Amendment, but also deal with things like the red flag law, taking guns away from people who have mental health issues, violent mental health issues. I want to make sure we have a strong distinction there.
Right.
But is the city talking at that level? Like what can be done in the legislature?
Yes. And so what we did in the Public Safety Committee, we had, I think, three or four recommendations that we supported that we sent to IGR, which is our legislative committee, which they will put together a packet. So when they go to Austin to lobby about certain local controls, a lot of what Governor Abbott put into his packet will also be part of our recommendation, i.e., if someone legally owns a firearm and keeps it in their car and it's stolen, that individual has the responsibility of notifying SAPD that my gun has been stolen. So we know there's another gun out on the street. And when you buy that gun legally, you always have it registered. You have the serial number. So we know exactly where that gun came from. Right now, we don't have those measures.
Back to the measure that's being talked about, the proposed issue that's working its way towards city council. Gun shows are also part of this as well.
Right.
And as we talk about grandfathering and things moving forward, that seems like something that would take effect almost immediately. That because it would be harder for guns. You don't grandfather a gun show that hasn't happened yet.
Correct. And most gun shows don't own the property where they have their gun show. It's usually an event center or some other center which is already properly zoned.
Or the Joe Freeman Coliseum.
Correct.
Owned by the county.
By the county. So we have to start having these conversations with both the city and the county to see what we can do, if anything at all. Once we get into the legal ramifications and legal discussions and legal arguments, we may not be able to touch the current gun shows. But it's always worth a look at.
But there are still person-to-person gun sales.
Correct.
Which has been, you know, they call that a loophole.
Right.
And that would you can sell guns at your garage sale.
Correct.
Totally legal.
Totally legal.
And nothing anyone can do about that.
Nope.
That's something that our society is working has worked out.
And then there's so many different ways to get a gun nowadays, and we're trying to propose something that's common sense that the city can regulate. Most of it we can't. I mean, our hands are tied in terms of the sale and purchase of firearms, but we can regulate land use.
Meanwhile, we're seeing in San Antonio a drop in violent crime.
Correct.
And as you being the public safety committee person for the city council, and this has been something that you ran on,
mm-hmm.
What happened? What went right?
I think we had, from my perspective, there's so many different reasons of why this is working, but I think the chief has been doing great service and work in our communities. But I think the second thing is our community saying, you know what, enough's enough. Before, people weren't talking. When they knew crimes, especially violent crimes, they weren't saying anything. Now we're getting phone calls. I've talked to the chief several times, and he's admitted that the number of witnesses or victims are starting to come out and speak. Even the DA's office, oftentimes, they're now returning the phone calls. When they have the alleged criminal and they're about to go to trial, victims are calling people back and willing to testify.
Well, that seemed like a major development.
It's huge.
And what's behind that?
I think people have had enough. You know, at one time, crime was heavily increasing. But as we get out into our communities, into streets, and we're talking to our neighbors, we're letting them know we're in this together. We're in this together, and we have to get these violent criminals off the streets.
And, drugs is a big part of all that.
Correct.
What's happening to the drug trade?
So what happened, there was a huge arrest in the district that got a lot of the major drug dealers in the city. And the interesting part about that is majority of them, if not all of them, were not from the district. They're from all over the city. So we brought in a lot of partners, public safety partners, to come in and work this case, and they've been working it for months. They got the key stakeholders, and they apprehended majority of them. I think one or two are still free.
So on this gun registration, gun regulations at the zoning level, give me the timetable. When will this work its way through to city council?
We're still working on the timetable. I would like to see it sooner than later. Let's go ahead and have that discussion and put it for a vote. But it's always going to depend on city staff putting together their legal opinion, as well as getting the stats and the information that they need to present a plausible argument for the recommendation.
But there's going to be plenty of opportunities for public input?
Absolutely. We always have citizens to be heard, and then we'll also have a few meetings out in the community talking to our constituents about the issue.
People always say, you guys already know what you're going to do. This is all just a charade.
No. I mean, of course, I'm a supporter of the UDC change, but we just have to have that conversation.
It's a process.
Yeah.
All right, William Cruz Shaw, District 2 City Council member, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
No problem.
When we come back from the break, we're going to be talking about the power of forgetting, how your brain edits out things in order to help you deal with this crazy world that we live in. How does that work? How can you use it? How is it being done to help people who are dealing with trauma? Give us a call if you've got a question about memory and forgetting, 210-614-8980. The source continues after this break.